Yes. What scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Absolutely. Don't you feel it in this sanctuary? So good morning, and welcome to all of you who are here with us in person. And those, yes, and those of you who are here with us online, you are in the right place at the right time, for this is your divine appointment. And I just want to give thanks to God, as always, and to our wonderful Reverend Sylvia, who's with us this morning, for allowing me the opportunity to serve in this way. It's Palm Sunday. Yes. So remember to get a palm when you leave, okay? Just to have that as a reminder. And this day commemorates Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, riding a donkey while his followers shouted, "Hosanna," and waved these branches, laid them down. Of course, they were a lot bigger and wider. But this event signals the beginning of Holy Week, which is recognized as the final week of Jesus' life, ending in his crucifixion. There may have been some point in time that you have experienced being a part of a crowd, just like what happened thousands of years ago, that welcomed a great hero, paid tribute to a notable figure, or cheered a championship team. Remembering the enthusiasm that marked such occasion, you may have a vague idea of the spirit in which Jesus was welcomed into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. In this instance, the people had hoped for a leader who would set them free from the oppression of the Romans. They wanted an earthly king who would make possible a better, more prosperous life. Sound familiar? The people believed that they had found such a person in Jesus, so they hailed him as their king. However, if they really understood Jesus' life and teaching, they would have known that Jesus had no intention of becoming an earthly king. And most of the people were not yet capable of understanding the spiritual kingdom in which the Christ is ruler. So today, as we commemorate Palm Sunday, let us know that our praise is not only in memory of our elder brother Jesus, but also in honor of the Christ spirit that ruled in Jesus and should rule in our minds and hearts today. Jesus riding into Jerusalem symbolized the spiritual I am taking control, elevating animal forces to purity and peace. When the I am governs the body, vitality is preserved, raising consciousness through pure ideals. As Jesus triumphantly rode the donkey into Jerusalem, he was equipped for what was coming. As our elder brother, there were so many ways Jesus showed us the way to fully embrace the I am, that Christ spirit that is within each one of us. And my message today focuses on one of those ways through an awe-inspiring moment that can be found in Scripture, specifically in the Gospels. It is the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. It is the story and the experience that strengthened Jesus to face what was to come. And it serves as an example of what we can also do to be strengthened. This moment of awe, or what I call the mountaintop experience, equipped Jesus for his journey toward Jerusalem and the crucifixion. During his transfiguration, Jesus was given an amazing gift, the power to face the suffering ahead. He was equipped to face the world's worst because he had been touched by God's best. All three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story of Jesus' transfiguration. They are referred to as synoptic gospels because they cover many of the same events in Jesus' life. Now, it is also important to note that this event happened about a week after Jesus told the disciples that he would suffer, be killed, and be raised from the dead. And here's the story. You know I give you the cliff notes. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he asked Peter, who represents faith, James, son of Zebedee, who represents wisdom, and John, James's brother, who represents love. He asked these three to accompany him. While Jesus was praying, it is said his face, his personal appearance, was changed into a glorified form, and his clothing became dazzling white. Moses and Elijah also appeared and talked with Jesus about his death that would soon take place. And Peter, who became fearful, offered to put up three shelters for them. Jesus dismissed this. Then a cloud enveloped them, and a voice spoke from the cloud, "This is my son, I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the cloud lifted, Moses and Elijah had disappeared, and Jesus was alone with the three disciples, who were said to be very much afraid. But Jesus comforted them. He instructed them not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the resurrection. So, what is the significance of this story? Why am I bringing this to you today? But like Jesus, how we become consciously one with God is through fellowship with God in prayer. We experience an electrifying change when we allow the Christ as us to lift or raise our faith, our wisdom, and love to hear the highest spiritual essence. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, defines prayer as our communion with God. He further said, in true prayer, we take with us words of truth, a statement of truth, or an affirmation, and turn our attention within to the very center of our being, where God dwells. We affirm these words of truth and meditate on them, then get very still and wait in the silence for God to make them real to us. And why the mountaintop? The mountaintop is a universal symbol of nearness to God. It is a place of clarity, perspective, and its peak spiritually signifies a state of absolute consciousness. The goal of reaching the top of a spiritual mountain is to gain a deeper understanding of oneself, the world, existence. This includes experiencing inner peace, connectedness, and a new perspective on life. However, this is not a measurable goal, but a lifelong journey of personal growth and self-discovery. And I always want to say that because it's not a one and done. The focus should be on experiencing the journey rather than reaching a specific destination. It is important that when we go into prayer, we are equipped, and this transfiguration story points to how we consciously can be in tune with our faculties, our power of faith, wisdom, and love as Jesus was. So let's delve into this a bit more, beginning with faith. The Bible presents numerous instances where prayer and faith are intertwined. In the Christian scriptures, commonly known as the New Testament, Jesus emphasizes the importance of faith in prayer. In Mark 11:24, Jesus instructs his disciples as this: "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." The scripture underscores the necessity of faith as a prerequisite for effective prayer, suggesting that belief in God's power and God's willingness to answer our prayer is crucial. The key here is belief. True belief is what we pray for, signifies that we trust the goodness, wisdom, and ability of God to provide what we need. It is not enough to just ask. We are encouraged to embrace a mindset that holds on to the assurance that our requests will be met. Like Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And simply put, my friends, faith is trusting in something you cannot explicitly prove. So let me further explain the significance of faith. Jesus often used extreme symbols to convey a concept. In one of his parables, he likens faith to a mustard seed. And if you've ever seen one, it's pretty tiny. My grandmother used to wear one enclosed in something around her neck, and she showed it to me when I was a kid. It is very little. In this same parable, Jesus says that having the faith of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. And a mountain is something very huge. Jesus' analogy wasn't about literally moving a mountain, but about faith in the power of God over the impossible. However, if we view this as an analogy, it illustrates what is physically impossible for humans is entirely possible to God. This makes the concept more comprehensible. The emphasis shifts from physical obstacles to God's omnipotence, for whom nothing is insurmountable. Furthermore, when we frame this discussion within the context of prayer, our perspective transitions from that physical realm to the spiritual domain. And then we move into our faculty or power of wisdom. The dictionary defines wisdom as having insight, knowledge, and good judgment. However, spiritual wisdom transcends mere knowledge or intelligence. It encompasses the ability to view life from a broader perspective. In a society that frequently prioritizes quick solutions and self-reliance, genuine spiritual wisdom must be rooted in humility. It involves acknowledging our limited understanding and the importance of seeking guidance beyond our own capabilities. It involves going to God, going within to that I am. And finally, our power of love is the cornerstone. Everything depends on love. 1 John 4:8 says, "God is love." You can feel that love as you speak daily with God through prayer, seeking guidance in your life. Therefore, if we are made in the image and after the likeness of God, then what are we? Love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which I have read, taught from, or heard many times, but I still ask myself, do I really take it to heart? So let me share it with you. And I want you to ask yourself, does it resonate with you in all of your interactions or encounters with others, especially those that you may not agree with? Now, I'm reading from the Message because it says it plain. And this is 1 Corinthians 13, 1-7. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. I like that interpretation. As we understand God's love for us, we learn to have love for others. The presence and power of God loves through us. The Spirit helping us to be sacrificial, to be patient and forgiving. Without rising to our God self, our love will be emotional and selfish. But when we abide in the Spirit, true love always leads to living right. True love is eternal, and acting from this love will last into eternity. Understanding God's love changes the way we live and calls us to share this love with the world, no matter what. A couple of other things are needed for us to be fully equipped. In the story of the transfiguration of Jesus, Moses and Elijah appear, and they have a conversation with Jesus. Remember, Elijah was a prophet in the Hebrew scriptures, and prophets were seen as individuals who had the ability to receive and convey divine revelations and messages to others for their edification, encouragement, and comfort. Charles Fillmore described a prophet as a thought that is in contact with spirit that receives revelations direct from the Holy Spirit. It knows and understands divine law and how it works. Therefore, it alerts and instructs the other thoughts. Moses was also a prophet. In this context, he represents drawing out or understanding of divine law. And unlike man's law, divine law remains unchangeable. It holds people accountable for the outcome of their actions. And this just came to me. Unlike man's law, unchangeable. Think about that with what's going on. Both these things are important in prayer, receiving and understanding divine revelations and knowing what to do with it. The Transfiguration story is a lesson that shows us a new horizon on our spiritual journey. For me, the story sheds a whole new light on my prayer life. I know this may not happen to any of you. However, there are times when I pray, I do it quickly. And I don't take time to pause, breathe, and listen, say my prayer, and keep it moving. In unity, we have a simple 5-step prayer process. First, just relax, let go of concerns, and know that all is well. Then we concentrate. Focus on a single thought, idea, or scripture that resonates with you. Basically, that's having a mantra. Sometimes I'll just go, let go and let God. It is not I, but the Christ within that does the work. You have yours. And the third is meditate. Be still and embrace the presence and power of God. And the very important fourth step, realization. When you're in a receptive state of mind and heart is when you listen for the inspiration of God. This step is in that transfiguration story in the form of a directive given by God. When Jesus's aura is shown bright, God said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." When you pray, in the midst of it all, you must pause and listen to the Christ that is within you. And finally, the last step, give thanks. Give gratitude for all you have, all the blessings that are going to come, and be ready to receive it. In the closing of this mountaintop experience, Peter, James, and John are also commanded not to tell what they had seen until after the resurrection. But don't we all like to share our awe moments with others? Absolutely. We are so overcome with bliss that we want to share it with everybody else. We want to share that feeling. Now, Unity Minister Reverend Dr. Bill Holton calls it coming off of our spiritual rush. However, he says we must realize that we cannot always share such an experience with those who have not experienced the rush. We can provide a model for them to follow, but each individual must experience their own pinnacle moment and personal exhilaration. I don't know about you, but for me right now, things really appear to be chaotic and a bit complicated in this world, and especially in these United States. It seems as if the other shoe keeps dropping. What I do know is as we face life like our elder brother and wayshower Jesus, we know that we are God's beloved sons and daughters, and knowing who we are and that the best in life is our birthright, we must embrace life like Jesus did. Yes, there will be suffering, questions, challenges, crises, all of that. However, we do not run away from life, but accept it in all its complexity. When life puts us at crossroads, the best place is to be equipped through our mountaintop experiences and our moments of awe. When you have your own devotional time, that's a mountaintop experience, a transfiguration. And whether you realize it or not, when you come together each Sunday in communion with others, you are publicly having a mountaintop experience and making a declaration that God is within you. You are equipping yourself for what is to come. And when this time of worship concludes, you go down that mountain, or I should say leave this sanctuary, and you face life for another week. And you keep doing it, and it gets better and better, or as some say, gooder and gooder. However, you may also face challenges. And when you do experience that confusion, chaos, and conflict, it is easy to become anxious and reactive, potentially losing your sense of self. Do not allow these forces of confusion, chaos, and conflict to diminish who and whose you are. It is imperative that you resist the feelings of being overwhelmed, anxious, and mentally paralyzed. Succumbing to these emotions could result in the loss of both your humanity and your autonomy, rendering you vulnerable to manipulation by those who propagate disorder, division, and despair. When we have to endure life's chaos, turmoil, and pain, we must equip ourselves with these mountaintop experiences to renew our hope and courage. The potential for disappointment and failure should not diminish our determination to persist. And we can see new possibilities and new ways through the storm. We can see the face of God. And that's our face. It's a powerful thing to experience God's presence and glory in our lives, and to know that God is within us as we move through the tough times. In the Transfiguration story, like Jesus, we too can experience God's glory shining on us. We can have that aura. We can be in that bright light. We can move through this day, this week, and many weeks to come, knowing that we too can be filled with the Spirit of God and be equipped with all we need to overcome any human experience while we're on this life journey. Right? Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you, thank you.